This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Will McClay is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes as we continue here in Oxnard, California, home of Cowboys Training Camp 2024, as per usual. It is brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. And Will McClay is going to be on the On-Time Experts hot seat, the On-Time Experts Air Conditioning and Plumbing same-day service guarantee. Obviously, the biggest personnel story right now for the Cowboys is the injury to Sam Williams. Brian, how important is it that they sign one of these veterans based on who's available and how big their need is?
Well, they'll look at I don't know right now if it's super important to them, because what they'll do is they'll try and look at the guys they currently have, and if they'll get through. You really want to make sure, though, that now, the problem is you could lose one of these guys.
Yeah.
Another team could, or a team could say, wait a minute, Dallas just had a major injury. Some of these edges are going to come off the market. You know, maybe we need to go grab the guy. If we're thinking about it, let's go grab the guy right now. A lot of these teams are just getting in the pads. And so now you're kind of, once you have two or three days of pads, you can kind of figure out, okay, we messed up on this one. Or, oh, we hit on this one. So I could see them being very, very patient right now and kind of see what they have, you know, with the guys they currently they have on the roster. And then if they have to do something going into the weekend, then maybe that's where they'll go.
I mean, you lose Dante Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, Sam Williams,
yeah.
All of a sudden a very deep pass rush. Are we in danger of getting to a spot where it's Micah Parsons being easy to game plan for?
Well, that's what Mike Zimmer's trying to avoid. And, you know, when we talked to him the other day, he was talking about, hey, I've got to figure out ways to get Micah involved, but figure out ways so teams don't game plan for him like you're asking about, Dawson. So, yeah, if it does turn into they don't add anybody and they just go with who they currently have, well, of course, then that makes Micah Parsons have to makes him and Tank even more important that way. So, yeah, game planning. They're always going to game plan for Micah Parsons. That's something Zimmer could try and do everything he can to work him around and move him around A-gaps, outside, wherever. But he's always going to be a guy that gets game planned.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like Zimmer's really taking it as a huge responsibility. And, like, looking at the end there, especially in the postseason and versus Green Bay and stuff, like, I think one of his big things as to why the Micah production went down is because he felt like offenses really knew where he was going to be at
right.
all times.
Yeah,
and
when
so,
you're able to move him around, you're really able to dictate where is protection sliding to, right? Because they're always going to be sliding to Micah. So now you can try and get plus matchups for other players along the front.
Yeah.
As joining us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, live in Oxnard, California, is the Vice President of Player Personnel for the Dallas Cowboys, Will McClay, sitting down now at our broadcast position. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. We were just talking about the injury over the weekend, and if you guys are going to bring anybody in, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go through the process. I mean, we've lost a good player that we feel like is the ceiling is there, and he's gonna reach that ceiling. So we've got to go try and figure it out. We've got young guys in now, but we're gonna try and replenish that because it's a long season going through this preseason. So we're gonna try and look and see what's out there.
How ready is the second rounder Nealon to step into a bigger role or others?
we'll find out when the pads come on. I mean, we've been out here for X amount of time, but some of the things that he's shown, you know, when we drafted him, we've seen it out here, and we've probably seen more than we thought he had. So feel good about that moving forward, but we're going to have to, you know, it's just, he hadn't been in pads yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like offensive and defensive line, you just don't know, right, until they get pads on. And when we talk with other players and coaches, how different training camp was, say, 15, 20 years ago, for you, putting this team together for as many years as you've been doing it, how has that evolved with how you're now able to kind of watch camp, but also you have limited reps to be able to see these guys?
That's the big thing. Football is a rep game, and you need reps to accurately describe a player and say what it is, and say what he can and can't do. All this time now, again, it's player safety, all that, but the business of football is still going. So we have to look at, you know, what they do in the walkthroughs from a pickup standpoint, their movement, all that stuff. And then we get to find out the inside part, the football character, you know, coming back from a rough day and, you know, how do you bounce back? We have limited opportunities to do that. But I'm glad we get opportunities to go against a couple other teams. Mm-hmm. That gives you, you know, that's the way you have to do it now, because you don't get that opportunity to have shoot. Normally, we were talking about it in the scouting trailer. The good old days, we'd probably had about 8 to 12 padded practices by now where you would have a good feel for that. It just takes a little bit longer. We've got to be better at what we do, and it's the things that you can see that you rely on until we get in the pads.
I'm glad somebody else is surprised a little bit about Nealon, because coming out of college, you know, you saw a powerful guy. You saw a guy. I wasn't sure how quick or how bendy he really was. And then you watch him out here, and I'm like, oh, wow, I might have missed something here. And when you said that, I'm like, okay, maybe I was on the right path. As a scout, you're always thinking about, I saw something in college, but mm-hmm. I'm seeing it now in the NFL level. Man, there's something completely different, in my opinion, about that kid. He does look quick off the ball. He's gaining ground with his step. He's able to capture the corner. You play him on the right side. You play him on the left side. I know I was critical of the pick myself,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah,
I was
meaning to talk to you about that too.
I was worried. I was critical of the pick because I'm thinking they got a powerful guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how bendy and edgy he was. I think he's got that though. And again, it's just, but we're going through, you know, helmets and t-shirts. Yeah. But I think it translates for this kid because he's showing it right now to me.
I just think one of the big things in that position, or when you have the interior positions, you look for, especially rushers and guys that play on, you look for their reactive athleticism. It may not be the bendy, curvy
right,
weight, but
right.
How do they do what you ask
right.
them to do? And if you can close space on people with power – now, if there's enough flexibility and movement,
right.
you can do that. In college football, they don't do as much as we do because they can't. So can the guy pick it up and apply it if there's, you know, if it's there? And I think it's in there with him with the physical skill set.
Yeah.
And again, when I say more, I didn't know. You see the testing numbers and all that.
Yeah.
But the testing numbers come out and show they're very visible on
yeah.
the field.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just testing.
If
yeah.
we can pivot to the rookie lineman, and thank mm-hmm. you for getting Cooper Beebe, by the way. That was one of my favorite
yeah.
picks in the entire draft. But Guyton, and you've had so much success with first-round linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder for you what you think the traits are that have developed into that success. Because to me, like attitude and work ethic, it seems like all these guys have. They come in with the right mindset, but then they're immediately getting to work.
Yeah, I mean, and it's what you're bringing them into. You bring them into the room that, you know, has a Zach Martin in it. You know, yeah, you've got Tyler Smith, who is now, you know, grown into that role. So they have these guys that they follow. That's the offensive lineman. We call it a fist. It's five of them. You know, it's just fingers, but you put it together, we want that big fist. And so that group works together because of the leadership. And so you bring a young guy in, they got to have the right attitude, they got to have the right mindset, because that room is going to make sure they fit in. That's the unique part about the offensive line. And then, you know, Tyler coming in with his athletic ability and, you know, hey, played on the right side at Oklahoma, was second quarterback. Those athletes that can flip either side, I mean, sometimes it's harder for people, but those people that are really athletic can go right side, left side.
Sure.
One of the coaches, as we were talking about it, one of the questions was, he goes, just think about if you have to go to the bathroom,
yeah.
you know, number one or two,
right.
and right hand or left hand,
right.
if you have to use the other
yeah.
one, that's sometimes, but some people can use both hands.
I was going to ask
that's
you, Will,
talent.
That is talent. The thing with Guyton, to me, that's it's really, really interesting, and, you know, he started off with the twos. And I know that it was, you know, we were doing 7-on-7 stuff. We weren't doing a lot of team. But then the mock game, all of a sudden he's with the ones. Was there something he had to show you coming in that he could be with the ones to start out with?
It's all a part of earning his opportunity to be there, because we mix those. If you watch it, we're mixing all of the pieces together because what can happen. So he took some reps, some, you know, first teams reps with the in the mock game, and then you know, Chuma's taking those. So he's going to earn it, and those guys, and we're also going to give Chuma that opportunity. And as we get into pads and we get into day by day, we'll begin to find more of it.
I kind of felt like that watching him, and in my eyes immediately, when you guys got to that team period yesterday, my eyes went immediately to the left tackle. Mm. And now I'm watching him go against Tank, and then I'm watching him go against Micah, and then I'm watching him go against Nealon. Mm. I'm going to say that the film watching that night to you – your eyes was exciting. If I was sitting in that room with you, I would say, "Holy yes, we might have got us one here."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, just from just the first time he came off the ball and hit Tank, and Tank kind of turned and like, "Whoa, young fella!" And there was questions about this kid maybe as a run blocker a little bit, and he came off the ball and I'm like going, "All right."
Well, and again, we haven't put on pads. At that position, you can at least see the movement. Mm-hmm. And when you have him going against three different type rushers, and there's the ability to anchor, there's the ability to handle speed, there's the ability to handle movement just in those exposures. So the more times we see that, the more comfortable we'll feel, you know, with it. But he's shown that he can do that.
Yeah.
Will McClay hanging out with us in the G-Bag Nation. Is who's the young wide receiver that has maybe caught your eye to this point?
I don't ever want to put that out there on any guy, because it'll pop up and then the next day they have a bad practice. But I'm excited to see, you know, Florinay had the little injury. We'll get him back, hopefully, seeing him, because he's showing all the right things. But impressed with, because we don't have our guy out there right now, the way that other people have stepped up. You know, yesterday you saw a big day from T. Billy Johnson.
Yeah.
Those guys getting those opportunities and take advantage of it. Brooks needs to step up and take another step. So we're getting an opportunity to see that.
It's Will McClay here with you on the Fan. Is what we're seeing big picture in any way a rebuild or a shifting of gears?
No. I mean, our objective is to win. I mean, we've won 36 games in 3 years. We still have those pieces to do that, and our objective is to get further than that. And, you know, to get to that level and be further than that, and we have the people to do it. So there's no rebuilding in Dallas. We're always trying to win.
Running back room looks different than we're used to, with a, you know, a clear guy. What can you tell us that maybe that's not, you know, clear to outside observers?
I think it's a healthy room for how we want to play. You think about the NFL nowadays, it's more pass oriented, but you still have to be able to run the football. You still have to be able to have that identity. It starts up front, and then it starts with the guys carrying the football. And so with that, we have that demeanor and then that attitude that will help the pass game and all those. So I feel good about that, and the way that Mike is going to call the game and use the personnel with the people we have. We have a very talented fullback in Lepke who can do a bunch of different things. How often do you see two back football and, you know, the different strategies? And so if you have the personnel, as long as you use your personnel the right way, you have an opportunity.
Pete had a nice blitz pickup yesterday for you. I mean, he ran the ball, popped it through, and now all of a sudden, like, oh, so young guy's going to get blitz pickup. And you're like, hey, you can play if you could do stuff like that. I wanted to ask you about Trey Lance, because Trey Lance was new to us last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what a Trey Lance day looked like during the regular season? I mean, were you guys having extra practices with him? You had the practice squad receivers. Was he having practices after practice, or how were you working to get him more reps?
Well, he gets the reps in the, you know, he did a lot of the scout team stuff, right?
Okay.
And then in learning our offense, the quarterback school. One of the things with Trey is, phenomenal athlete coming out of college, was drafted early, didn't play a lot of games.
Right.
And so the athletic talent, you see it there, the work ethic and who he is and how he does things, you got to see all that. And now he's getting that that quarterback refinement, and you can see the progression in him. It's, you know, as he goes through it, it's not all the time, but you see him progressing and using those physical traits all the time, but now getting better and better at playing that position. It's through the reps that he's got, and there's nobody – he's a lot like – he's in a great room because he's a lot like Dak from his work ethic and leadership, and then you have Coop who understands everything. He's a sponge. He soaks it in, and nothing's more important to him than getting better at his craft. So it's really cool to see a young guy with all that promise and ability to work on that and try and take advantage of it.
It's Will McClay with us here on The Fan. You've been so good at drafting and developing as a team. Last year, maybe fans were getting spoiled by all these draft classes, and you're getting immediate production from them. The second-year jump from last year's draft class, what are you hoping to see there?
I think we have to have that jump, and that's what you're counting on. When you got good players and you have to play them and, you know, pay them, and the salary cap doesn't allow for us to have all of these perfect names that fans might think outside. You have these young guys that are in your program, and it's about developing and understanding how you do things and taking that jump. They've spent the offseason. They've been in here. They've gotten bigger, stronger, faster. We've got three players that we had last year that had injuries that we didn't even get an opportunity to see, but they were around the NFL locker room and our play stuff that they hadn't done the year before. So we expect them to grow and get better because now they're getting those reps.
What's the big picture thing or the part of the game that you guys are going to do better this year that will allow you to accomplish those big picture goals?
We're going to have to play better defense. We're going to have to be more efficient on offense. We're going to have to take advantage of the opportunities we have. It's still early, but the guys that we have on this roster, there's going to be four, five, six guys that are going to have to step up that we didn't think they were going to have to, that are going to have to. And so it's the system we put them in. It's how we train and what they do. Guys are going to have to step up. So it's about the team, and we think we have enough talent, and it's about everyone doing their job and addressing the issues that the perceptions out there, what the issues are. We've got to fix those.
Keep throwing that Carson kid out there at corner. Just keep throwing him out there, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that kid right there, he can play.
He's extremely competitive.
He is very competitive.
The one thing about this young group of guys that we had coming in, and it's unique, is when they came in as rookies, you know, every year we get a rookie class, and that rookie class comes in and they go through things together.
Yeah.
And there's always a guy here, a guy there that somebody's complaining about or they're not doing whatever. This group from everybody in the organization, even people outside the organization, you talk about them, and then you watch them and how they work and fit into our deal. It's a unique thing, and hopefully we can reap the benefits of that.
Maybe it's not your focus, but how about the chemistry storyline? Is this a roster with good chemistry?
Yeah, and it starts from, I'll say it starts from the quarterback. Quarterback brings everybody together. Everybody respects him. Everybody follows his lead, and they're following the right guy. And we did a unique thing in the offseason. We did some team stuff or whatever, but it was very interesting to see how the whole team comes together at all of the different little things that we put them in. So that points to a chemistry that is different.
Very cool. Thank you, sir. Awesome job.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Once again. Yeah, baby, here we are live at Cowboys Training Camp 2024. Thanks to Will McClay for just joining us. Segments brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. And it's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Oh,
got a bad mic situation. Yeah,
you're going to have to. Oh, I think you're wearing the wrong mic.
It's not a hot
Walchuk
mic.
That's what's happening. Here you go. Walchuk is, he did the old change. We're doing musical chairs over here.
I did a little scoochy scoochy.
He wanted to get his head on the same headset that Will McClay's head was just on.
Yeah.
So he could get some
drafting knowledge.
Yes,
powers.
Exactly.
Scout powers.
I was just trying to see if there was anything that I could channel that Will might know about this report that's floating around right now from old Pretty Ricky. trying to be the next Adam Schefter. We're going to watchdog the heck out of Pretty Ricky here.
Is this one about Dak?
This one's about CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, CeeDee Lamb.
He's throwing out there. This is not confirmed.
This guy's from New York, by the way. Pretty Ricky's a New York guy.
And he's been right about a few things.
He has.
He's been wrong about quite a few things as well.
He nailed the Jordan Love one that just popped up this
week. He did. He did.
He nailed Jordan Love. So we'll watchdog him. This is not confirmed. Do not run and take this and tell everyone at the water cooler
this
is done. But he's floating out there that the Cowboys are closing in on a four-year extension with CeeDee Lamb that will be worth $136 and $138 million, somewhere between there. So 4 years, $136 or $138. And, I mean, today seemed like a day to get that thing done, right? You're off. There's no practice. You can just dedicate your time to trying to get CeeDee Lamb done.
Surprise.
Maybe he shows up tomorrow.
$34.5 million, man. That's amazing.
Just under
that's under
what Jefferson
got. That's under it, man. That's what we talk about.
Jefferson's at 35.
The sources close to me confirm that as well, Wolchek. It makes sense that CeeDee will sign a four-year deal just short of what Justin Jefferson got. Who's next?
Now, Chill has said, people have been asking him on Twitter. Clarence Hill Jr. said no. He's been told no in all caps, that report is not true.
Yeah, because Pretty Ricky's the guy who gets it when no one's supposed to have it yet. He's got this weird back-channeling ability.
What do you got over
to
here?
To make crap up.
I was showing Pretty Ricky.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You going and retweeting his tweet?
No, I don't. You know what? I stay out of that game.
Just something to monitor. It might be totally false. He might end up looking like a genius.
I can guarantee it, Wolchuk. Before the season starts, CeeDee Lamb will have a four-year deal for just short of what Justin Jefferson got. How do you like those sauces?
I love it, baby. I think
I'm from New York, too, Pretty
You're from
Ricky.
New York. I think CeeDee's here tomorrow. We see CeeDee Lamb in Oxnard tomorrow. He won't be practicing, but he's going to be here. We also
we
got to
get him out here before we leave, though.
Yeah,
we
definitely.
Get him out
so he will
leave.
Be.
So
I guarantee
Chill, you. Chill's saying no.
For the person that he talked to said no, that's
it's
not
It's a source-off between Chill and Pretty Ricky. We'll see who wins, man. I also guarantee Dak will get more than Tua and Jordan Love.
Combined.
At some point before March 15th of next year.
Oh.
Pretty Gabby.
Crystal ball Gabby.
Pretty Gabby. Cha-ching.
Scout Gavin rides again. It's a big day. 877-881-1053. Huh. It is National Chicken Wing Day.
You like that, Brian?
Tell you what, I don't think Chief did, though.
What? Oh, he's holding out hope for a new quarterback.
Yeah, he's got to.
Tell you what, for those of you that are holding out hope that Trey Lance is the guy, we need to wait for preseason action.
Bobby's taking a lot of flack right now.
It's been a little rough in practice. Yeah. And you know me, Trey's my boy.
Yeah.
But it's been a struggle at practice. I'm not really sure where that ball's going to end up. It's high, it's low, it's wide.
It's high, it's low, and it's wide. Yeah, it was funny because I talked to a couple of different people. Like, what do you think about Trey Lance? One was like, man, he's just low on everything. And then I talked to another guy, and he's like, he just seems like he's missing high on everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, okay. So you're seeing some of his throws, you're seeing some of his other throws, and we put it together, and it's just misses.
It's, very inconsistent when it comes to the accuracy.
Throwing to the middle of the field is better for him than throwing out to the outside the numbers. Something about the numbers.
It is.
Tua just got a big money deal, and he's pretty much a guy that can only throw to
the
middle
of the field.
Well,
and he had two of those. Like, he went to that far right sideline, underthrew it, Carson picked it. Mm-hmm. Then he went back at Carson with Billy Johnson, and that's the one that he hit Billy Johnson for the touchdown. So he's trying to push the ball a little bit, but Cooper Rush certainly has looked better out here.
Cooper Rush has got the right attitude. There's no pressure on Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush was slinging it from the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. Cooper Rush used to be check down Charlie guy.
Letting it rip now.
He's letting it rip because he's like, well, I'm either going to be the two or the three. You know, that's how he's got it. He's like, I'm not going to. So he and Dak are actually pushing the ball more than what you're getting from Trey Lance.
All right, 877-881-1053, National Chicken Wing Day. I've got the top 10 most popular flavors of the chicken wings right now in the U.S. of A. What is your favorite flavor of chicken wings? And maybe, Eric, we got to figure out tonight that this place that Ruben wants to go.
It's called Duke's.
Yeah. They better have chicken wings.
We got to do the chicken wing 3-minute challenge today.
They better have them at this place we're going to.
Oh, then we're
going
to just go somewhere else.
It's like a beach place.
That's today.
Sounds like a beach place. That's chicken wings to me.
Today is the day.
I think I got a menu here. Let me look it up. You guys keep talking.
We got to get the chicken wing thing going because I got to go mano a mano with the South Carolina Gamecock.
You
do. He put down 20 wings in 3 minutes.
You're going to take down that Gamecock.
Yeah. Yeah, I fully intend to.
Mm. That's your thing.
I've been prepping for this for a while now.
Oh, they've got it all, boys.
Oh, they got the wangs?
It looks like they got some really good burgers, to be
but
honest
I
with you.
Yeah, okay, their burgers are what caught my eye.
Watchdog that menu. I know you can get a burger
and wings.
It's a
chicken wing
day.
You have to get wings.
We
got to
get
wings on a day like today.
I don't see it, guys.
All right, well then, we're going to have to tell Ruben we might need to go ahead and put a pen in this one until tomorrow.
I'm going
to
find a local Oxnard wing. I don't want it just. I don't want a franchise wing.
But you could probably eat twice. We might be able to go to this place for Ruben, and then we'll stop back and go to a wing place for you.
Ooh, ahi tuna wrap. Ooh,
I've been known.
Yeah, I know. I know you
double
are.
Up.
I know you're definitely a double up guy.
Did we both get a post Spencer McKenzie's dinner last night?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Cajun dry rub and Dr. Pepper is their go to at Pluckers in the 972.
Dude, it's all about the Gold Rush at Pluckers. If you ask me,
damn right, you know that's my favorite.
But I'm also just like a general buffalo. I like a hot lemon, like the Cowboys flavor at
lemon pepper
football
wet.
Season. Lemon pepper, but with also some hot.
Yeah, I think that's lemon pepper wet.
Whoa, there's lemon pepper that's a wet sort of
there's a
sauce,
wet rub?
Yeah.
Oh, TV timeout.
Well, not wet rub.
Hot wings. Hot wings.
You see wings over there?
Yep, served with Duke's has hot chicken wings served with buffalo hot sauce and ranch.
Okay, that's good. What's the number? What's the number count?
I don't.
12 wings, 20
wings? It's 1365 for the order.
1365, so that's probably 10 wings.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
That's known as an appetizer. It's an appetizer.
Yeah, that's exactly what it'll be. It'll be an appetizer before I crush one of those burgers.
Yeah,
that sounds fantastic.
Wingstop does the hot lemon. It's the Cowboys flavor where they take their buffalo original hot and then they combine it with the dry rub lemon pepper.
Sounds delicious.
To me, that's a home run.
Yeah, that is. Thai curry at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, my gosh.
Is delicious. Baker's Gold from Pluckers. Mixed Gold Rush with lemon pepper from the 214.
That could get down.
That could be a lemon pepper wet I'm all here for.
Ooh, hot honey from Wingstop goes crazy, says the 214.
All right, Medford with your new piercings, your favorite wing flavor,
what?
Sir. Yep.
Poor little Red gets drug in.
Yeah, that's still allegations. False allegations.
No, little Red,
crazy
go ahead and flash that sucker on the fan cam. Let's go.
You know, Carter has a video to make at the end of the year with the best moments. I might give him a treat sometime, but no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually typically a lemon pepper guy, but I will say I've experienced the hot honey world recently. And the hot honey.
Magical.
That's been a game changer for me, guys.
Yeah, a little sweet heat going on. You know, I think it's clear orange magic is the best flavor profile.
It is really good.
I've never had them.
No, it is really good.
They're so good.
Smoked even better.
I've recently committed to smoking them.
Yep.
Then steaming them.
Yes.
Oh,
then stripping them.
What?
There's stripping involved. You know
then,
I'm in.
Then battering them and frying them for a proper boneless wing. You've been doing that? That will set a new standard.
Oh,
no, I've recently committed
winging.
Myself to it.
Holy crap.
Okay, so that's on the horizon. A real boneless wing, and you guys will be the first trial audience.
Gosh,
let's
go.
I need to employ Brian's help here for the breading and the frying spot, but I'm sure he's got me.
We'll figure it out for sure.
Yeah, the text line is being flooded with orange magic. The Carolina Reaper is getting
there's
love.
Probably hundreds of people that make those now at this point because the videos
you blew it up
instructional videos
Asian Zing from Buffalo Wild Wings. I agree. I think
so
that's
good.
Their best flavor.
Okay, yeah. What's involved with the Asian Zing? Is that like a soy kind
probably
of a thing?
Like a Korean barbecue flavor,
sticky rib,
like
kind
a
of
chili,
sticky rib,
chili kind
okay
of like sweet heat
yeah
okay.
A little spicy.
All right, let's go.
So actually number 10 most popular wing flavor in the United States on National Chicken Wing Day, spicy Korean comes in at number 10.
It's not right.
Number 9 we got honey sriracha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It sounds like a hot honey right there.
Sweet and heat.
Number 8 is your Cajun wings.
That's the flavor I tend to gravitate towards if I'm not eating orange magic.
It's old and true for you.
Yep.
Number 7 is mango habanero.
That's a family favorite.
Ooh.
Can you do that from scratch? Now we're really talking with real mangoes and habaneros.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Blend it, yeah.
6, we've got lemon pepper.
Yeah. Sounds kind of basic, man.
No, chill out.
Lemon pepper is fantastic.
Settle the hell down over there.
It's
what do you mean basic?
You know, lemon pepper.
Basic, man.
Okay, how we doing?
Maybe
lemon
it's bread and butter, dude. Is bread and butter a little basic to you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I will
basic.
Say this.
Gosh dang staple.
I will say this, though. Just flat bread and butter on a table before a meal.
Damn right.
I stand corrected.
Cheers.
I stand corrected.
I'll
you got any
to
chips
that.
And salsa?
I like that. I like that.
But the lemon pepper, that seems very basic.
But it's so good.
So yummy, dude. It stands the test of time. It really does.
Are you talking about like zest in the lemons and stuff like that?
It's got tang and spice to it.
If you were a wing place and you only had three flavors, I guarantee you everyone would have at least one lemon pepper as a flavor. If you could only have three flavors.
Your top five favorite wing flavors in the United States.
Barbecue, lemon pepper, and buffalo.
And Dawson, and I would get a food truck with Orange Magic and right outside there, and nobody would be in that lemon pepper area.
Yeah, that's right.
Five, you've got teriyaki.
Uh-huh.
Those will make you go to the men's room quick.
On a bed of rice.
It better be potent. Some of that teriyaki gets a little bit flavorless. It leaves you wanting more.
That can't be soy.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Like the Asian zing, that's what I'm here
for. Let me know you're in there.
Number four is honey mustard. Is that a dry rub?
Honey mustard wings?
Combining honey and mustard.
AI clearly did that list. It aggregated some nonsense.
This is a United States straw poll here.
Honey mustard wing? I've heard it's a dipper.
I think it might be a dry rub.
That's a dry rub, yeah.
Three is barbecue.
See, I do think it's overrated, though.
People do
stuff,
love it, though.
They do. People love a barbecue wing, and I don't know.
Two is one that has been slept on by you guys. I'm surprised nobody's mentioned it, but it's the garlic parmesan.
I'm going way overrated.
People love garlic parmesan, man.
It's good, but it can also sometimes, like, you
better
garlic.
Overpower. It gets over.
254 just texted in. List is invalid without garlic parm. 817, where's garlic parm? It's number two on
here. Please tell me, though.
I got respect for garlic parm.
Okay, but it gets too much parm. Too much.
There is overpowering parmesan.
More salt and pepper. I'll raise my hand in disagreement on that. Mm.
Yeah. Number one, though, most popular flavor of chicken wings on National Chicken Wing Day is indeed buffalo.
Buffalo.
And I think that might be the most overrated sauce.
Shut your damn mouth.
People overdo it. You shouldn't have so much buffalo sauce on the wing that you got to lick it off and you're using multiple paper towels. You shouldn't have to wash your hands that much after wings.
Yummy.
You need that Frank's Red Hot as part of the flavor profile, not drowning the damn bird in it.
I tell you, he's on to something here.
Thank you, Brian. I knew you had my back.
I absolutely do.
Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. If you missed it at the top of the hour, Will McClay joined us. You can instant rewind with the Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube, whatever you need. Coming up at 5 o'clock is In Addition to the Finest. We're going just football overload here with you today. Of course, we'll be taking a look at what the Rangers did coming up in the Expressway at 5:20, the very latest Rumoruskies, and Matt Hicks is going to join you at 5:40. And then Rangers baseball at 6 as they're in St. Louis, trying to get off the snide now. It's magical how much things changed since Friday. But what do you have in this college football super segment, Wolchuk?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We got ESPN. They're putting out top 25 player list. This is college football's top 25 players of the 21st century. Ooh. So over the last 24 years, who have been the best players in college football? Who would you rank number one? That's next in the nation.
Thank you, Alec Medford, in for Lucius Alexander all week long. Go ahead, send Lucius some love on social media. In addition to the finest coming up at 5, we'll take a look at that MLB trade deadline, which is coming up now on 25 hours away tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on your home of the champs. Right there at the break, I lost all respect for Carter Freeman's football knowledge. And for more on that story, here is Wolchuk with the College Football Super Segment.
877-881-1053, early nominee for My Buddy's an Idiot. And is this the worst football take you've ever heard in your life? ESPN has put out the top 25 players in college football since the 21st century. So that is dating back to 2000. Now, this list, for whatever reason, they came out with the quarterbacks of the last, 75 years. Last year, I think it was. And they love Baker Mayfield.
As they should.
They love his accomplishments of winning the Heisman Trophy. He was a walk-on. It's a great story. He was very, very good. Could never get or play for a national championship. Neither here nor there. They have Vince Young at number 4 on this list. Cam Newton is number 3.
That's too high.
Baker at 2. And then Ndamukong Suh is number 1. But the big debate here was Vince Young or Baker Mayfield.
What?
Who is better? And for one game, who would you take? To me, anybody with a brain would take Vince Young. Did we not see what he did in the Rose Bowl? I said 2 years in a row against Michigan and then against what was called maybe the greatest college football team in history in that USC game. And they probably don't have any business being there if it ain't for Vince Young. But Carter Freeman said he thinks Baker is better than Vince and would take Baker in a one-game sample size.
I would. And clearly ESPN is on my side. They're right because they have Baker at 2 and they have Vince Young at 4. And let me get this out of the way. I am not saying Vince Young was not one of the top 5 college football players of the last 20-plus years. He absolutely is. I would put him over Cam Newton. Because what Vince Young did for multiple years, being the amazing player that he was better than Cam Newton in that one amazing season he had at Auburn. I'm just saying, as an OU fan, as you can see my hat here on the fan
cam. If you took your bias out of this, one game, Vince Young, Baker Mayfield, you've got to beat the best team in college football history. You're taking Baker.
I am. 100%. When I watching him play, there was never a worry at quarterback. That was the most amazing thing, having him as the quarterback at OU for 3 years. That was never anything you had to worry about.
And that was something that Longhorn fans had to worry about when Vince Young was there.
That's not what I said. I did not say that.
Well, then it's a moot point. It's two equal situations here.
Carter, what year was Baker Mayfield's best Oklahoma team?
It was 2017. It was his senior year that he won the Heisman Trophy.
Okay, and then
is that when Georgia beat the dog ass out of him?
That was when the defense let up 54 points in overtime.
Vince Young 2004, right?
2005.
2005
was the national championship team.
So I was wondering if you said, okay, which team, if you said one game between the two, and you take the Baker Mayfield-led Oklahoma team, all that squad, to play against the Texas squad, I wonder how that game would play out.
The Texas squad's going to win because of Vince Young.
I think the Oklahoma squad has a better overall roster. I will say that.
Hey, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you, but that exactly is another reason why Vince Young was better and is better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but Baker did just as good. That was Baker's best team in 2017. Absolutely.
Awesome. See, that's what I was saying. I would like to see that team play against, if you said one game between the two, his best team versus his best team. That's what I would like to see.
And who would you take?
Quarterback. Me personally, I didn't think that Vince Young could particularly throw the ball all that well.
And you don't need to in college.
Well, but what I'm saying though, in this day and age, I need to throw the ball pretty good, right?
I don't know. I think you can still run around pretty well. I mean, Jalen Milroe won an SEC championship game. That's predominantly what he did.
I know, absolutely. Though, but you know, and they.
But for college, I think Vince still threw well.
I mean, clearly, he did well enough. He did everything he needed to.
Linus Swede was a first-round pick.
One game, one play, one practice, one day, one second. It's always Vince Young.
It's Vince Young. I mean, I don't think it's even a debate.
But this list, I mean, it's Carter actually has a leg to stand on here because it's not just him insanely pulling this out of his rear end. It's actually on the list where Baker's ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baker's at 2.
Unbelievable.
And Vince is at 4. And Baker shouldn't be ahead of Cam Newton or Vince Young.
Baker Mayfield,
care if it was 1 year
His win at Ohio State was pretty impressive that 1 year.
When he slammed that flag into the...
Three straight Big 12 titles, Heisman. I mean, I could go on and on.
I mean, neither one of them... awesome. Neither one of them throw the ball particularly great.
The bona fides are there. I don't know. I thought Baker had an accurate arm.
Baker is as good of a college passer as there's been in like the last 10 years.
Just say from the scouting perspective, to my eye, it was never pretty watching him throw the ball. And I've been wrong about pretty throwing quarterbacks. Trust me, that Joey Harrington out there
at Oregon.
And I
don't even care about NFL,
I'm just saying from my perspective, looking at it from
we're scouting these guys for the NFL. One college football game. Against whatever team.
You know nothing else about your talent?
You know nothing else. You want Vince Young or you want Baker?
Baker Mayfield's going to execute if everything around him's great. If you put Vince Young on a team and you say, hey, guess what, there's a game tomorrow, you know nothing about the line, nothing about the receivers, you have a much better chance of winning than if you had Baker Mayfield.
There's more intangibles for the athletic ability.
Yeah. Baker's best win, I think I got 3 for Vince Young that are better. Michigan in the Rose Bowl the year before they won the Natty, going on the road to Ohio State.
Wait, what kind of Michigan team was that?
It was Braylon Edwards was their best, was at wide receiver.
Chad Henne at quarterback?
Any respect I just had for this win just went out the door.
Well, it shouldn't. You should educate yourself because I'm pretty sure it was the year that Ohio State and Michigan were like 1-2, and then Ohio State beats Michigan that year, and they go on to play in the national championship game. I believe they lost to Florida.
So you're telling me Michigan just got in because Ohio State couldn't go to the game?
Who are the teams that Oklahoma lost to, Carter?
When?
Come on. Exactly. Did they play in a national championship game? Did they get close? Did he win any games?
It's not Baker Mayfield's fault.
You're still not giving me his best wins. You can't give them to me.
Baker Mayfield's best win was Ohio State in 2017.
I think so.
A team that should have made the playoff. In any other year, they would have made the playoff.
And Vince Young went to Ohio State.
They didn't just beat that team. They whooped that team. The second half, that was not a competitive game.
A year after they just played in a national championship and beat them in the shoe. Against a team that was probably better than the one that you're looking at.
See, it's just, it goes back into the different eras, too.
You haven't given me anything of substance as to why you would take Baker over VY.
You just don't want to listen to me.
Point, set, match, Wolchuk.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much.
There's nothing. There's nothing.
Carter's taking his head.
Oh, my gosh. He had 4 years. Vince had 2 good years. Come on.
College football super segment here in the G-Bag Nation.
Give me Tebow over him, too.
Oh, BS.
We're all
He's better than Newton, though.
Trade deadline coming up at 5:20. Coming up next, in addition to the finest chief, where you taking it?
Rookies are making waves across the sport, and Andy Reid just drew up the cockiest play in football history. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you, Alec Medford, in for Lucius Alexander all week long. Go ahead, send Lucius some love on social media. In addition to the finest coming up at 5, we'll take a look at that MLB trade deadline, which is coming up now on 25 hours away tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on your home of the champs. Right there at the break, I lost all respect for Carter Freeman's football knowledge. And for more on that story, here is Wolchuk with the College Football Super Segment.
877-881-1053, early nominee for My Buddy's an Idiot. And is this the worst football take you've ever heard in your life? ESPN has put out the top 25 players in college football since the 21st century. So that is dating back to 2000. Now, this list, for whatever reason, they came out with the quarterbacks of the last, like, 75 years, last year, I think it was, and they love Baker Mayfield.
As they should.
They love his accomplishments of winning the Heisman Trophy. He was a walk-on. It's a great story. He was very, very good. Could never get or play for a national championship, neither here nor there. They have Vince Young at number 4 on this list. Cam Newton is number 3.
That's too high.
Baker at 2. And then Ndamukong Suh is number 1. But the big debate here was Vince Young or Baker Mayfield.
What?
Who is better? And for one game, who would you take? To me, anybody with a brain would take Vince Young. Did we not see what he did in the Rose Bowl? I said 2 years in a row against Michigan and then against what was called maybe the greatest college football team in history in that USC game. And they probably don't have any business being there if it ain't for Vince Young. But Carter Freeman said he thinks Baker is better than Vince and would take Baker in a one-game sample size.
I would. And clearly ESPN is on my side. They're right because they have Baker at 2 and they have Vince Young at 4. And let me get this out of the way. I am not saying Vince Young was not one of the top 5 college football players of the last 20-plus years. He absolutely is. I would put him over Cam Newton because what Vince Young did for multiple years, being the amazing player that he was better than Cam Newton in that one amazing season they had at Auburn. I'm just saying, as an OU fan, as you can see my hat here on the fan
cam. If you took your bias out of this, one game, Vince Young, Baker Mayfield, you've got to beat the best team in college football history. You're taking Baker.
I am. 100%. Okay. When I watching him play, there was never a worry at quarterback. That was the most amazing thing, having him as the quarterback at OU for 3 years. That was never anything you had to worry about.
And that was something that Longhorn fans had to worry about when Vince Young was there.
That's not what I said. I did not say that.
Well, then it's a moot point. It's two equal situations here.
Carter, what year was Baker Mayfield's best Oklahoma team?
It was 2017. It was his senior year that he won the Heisman Trophy.
Okay, and then
is that when Georgia beat the dog ass out of him?
That was the defense let up 54 points in overtime.
Young's team, Vince Young 2004, right?
2005.
2005
was the national championship team.
So I was wondering if you'd said, okay, which team, if you said one game between the two, and you take the Baker Mayfield-led Oklahoma team, all that squad, to play against the Texas squad, I wonder how that game would play out.
The Texas squad's going to win because of Vince Young.
I think the Oklahoma squad has a better overall roster. I will say that.
Hey, and you know what? I'm not going to argue with you, but that exactly is another reason why Vince Young was better and is better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but Baker did just as good. Like, that was Baker's best team in 2017. Absolutely.
Awesome. See, that's what I was saying. I would like to see that team play against, if you said one game between the two, his best team versus his best team. That's what I would like to see. And who
would you take?
Quarterback. Me personally, I didn't think that Vince Young could particularly throw the ball all that well.
And you don't need to in college.
Well, but what I'm saying though, in this day and age, I need to throw the ball pretty good, right?
I don't know. I think you can still run around pretty well. And Jalen Milroe won an SEC championship game. And that's predominantly what he did.
I know, absolutely. Though, but you know, and they.
But for college, I think Vince still threw well.
I mean, clearly, he did well enough. He did everything he needed to.
Linus Swede was a first-round pick.
One game, one play, one practice, one day, one second. It's always Vince Young.
It's Vince Young. I mean, I don't think it's even a debate.
But this list, I mean, it's Carter actually has a leg to stand on here because it's not just him insanely pulling this out of his rear end. It's actually on the list where Baker's
ahead.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Baker's at two.
Unbelievable.
And Vince is at four. And Baker shouldn't be ahead of Cam Newton or Vince Young.
Baker Mayfield,
care if it was 1 year.
His win at Ohio State was pretty impressive that 1 year.
When he slammed that flag into
UT, three straight Big 12 titles, Heisman. I mean, I could go on and on.
I mean, neither one of them.
That's awesome.
Neither one of them throw the ball particularly great.
The bona fides are there. I don't know. I thought Baker had an accurate arm.
Baker is as good of a college passer as there's been in like the last 10 years.
Just say from the scouting perspective, to my eye, it was never pretty watching him throw the ball. And I've been wrong about pretty throwing quarterbacks. Trust me, that Joey Harrington out there
at
Oregon.
And I don't even care about NFL,
I'm just saying from my perspective, looking at it from
we're scouting these guys for the NFL. One college football game against whatever team.
You know nothing else about your talent?
You know nothing else. You want Vince Young or you want Baker?
Baker Mayfield's going to execute if everything around him's great. If you put Vince Young on a team and you say, hey, guess what, there's a game tomorrow, you know nothing about the line, nothing about the receivers, you have a much better chance of winning than if you had Baker Mayfield.
There's more intangibles for the athletic ability.
Yeah. Baker's best win, I think I got three for Vince Young that are better. Michigan in the Rose Bowl the year before they won the Natty, going on the road to Ohio State.
What kind of Michigan team was that?
It was Braylon Edwards was their best, was at wide receiver.
Chad
I think they
Henney?
Had
Hart. Chad Henney okay. at quarterback?
Any respect I just had for this win just went out the door.
Well, it shouldn't. Chad Maybe Henney you should educate yourself because I'm pretty sure it was the year that Ohio State and Michigan were like 1-2, and then Ohio State beats Michigan that year, and they go on to play in the national championship game. I believe they lost to Florida.
So you're telling me Michigan just got in because Ohio State couldn't go to the game?
Who are the teams that Oklahoma lost to, Carter?
When?
Come on. Exactly. Did they play in a national championship game? Did they get close? Did he win any games?
It's not Baker Mayfield's fault.
You're still not giving me his best wins. You can't give them to me.
Baker Mayfield's best win was Ohio State in 2017.
I think so.
A team that should have made the playoff. In any other year, they would have made the playoff.
And Vince Young went to Ohio State.
They didn't just beat that team. They whooped that team. The second half, that was not a competitive game.
A year after they just played in a national championship and beat them in the shoe. Against a team that was probably better than the one that you're looking at.
It goes back into the different eras, too.
You haven't given me anything of substance as to why you would take Baker over VY.
You just don't want to listen to me.
Point set match, Wolchuk.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much.
There's nothing.
Carter's taking his head.
Oh, my gosh. He had 4 years. Vince had two good years. Come on.
College football super segment here in the G-Bag Nation.
Give me Tebow over him, too.
BS. He's better than Newton, though.
Trade deadline coming up at 5:20. Coming up next, in addition to the finest, Chief, where are you taking it?
Rookies are making waves across the sport, and Andy Reid just drew up the cockiest play in football history. That's next in the Nation.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.